Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 187 all the stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 1 through 4 of Psalter 187.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book there of Genesis 24. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 24, and there of the first 28 verses. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abram, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. Being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou in whose house we do come time and again, and also once more in this afternoon hour, we here upon this earth, yet within the institution which Thou Thyself hast given unto us, for that purpose that Thou may declare what we have sung together, Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. Oh, that we may be given a desire and a need in our hearts for that loving kindness, because we do stand and sit in this moment before Thy countenance, whose eyes we read in Thy word, they are as a flame of fire. Thy servant did have a view of Thee, of which he did fall upon his face to the ground. Thy feet as fine brass, as they had burned in a furnace. Thy head and thy hair as white as wool, and thy voice as the voice of many waters. Oh, what a majesty thou dost appear in, when thou hast received thy throne, after thy deep humiliation, being so highly exalted at the right hand of thy Father, for that great purpose, that thy name may be glorified, and that thy Spirit may be sent out, and now to gather that church that is here below in this world. And so thou dost send us forth also as those who are commanded by thee to seek out a wife, to seek out a bride for thee, thy church, even unto the end of the world. And thou who hast said unto us, get thee from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will tell thee of. Thou who hast said unto us, I have put my words in thy mouth. Thou who hast said unto us, that thou wouldest send thy angel before us. O Lord, we beseech thee, that it may also be evident in the midst of us, that thou dost send us forth also, when thy Spirit will go out before us, to do the work that we are not able to do, to gather in that people that is appointed to be thy church, even from that never begun eternity. Oh, that thou wouldst fulfill thy own word in the midst of us, in the hearts of both young and old. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst not leave a single one of us behind upon that journey to meet thee. For each and every one, young and old, are traveling quickly to thy judgment seat with a soul that is never to die, and a body that is also to be raised as thou thyself was raised, as thou hast said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst open unto us that kingdom of heaven, that thou wouldst deliver us from that death and that hell that we are in and traveling unto. O, that thou thyself wouldst stretch forth thy mighty hand, and that thou wouldst speak even as the voice of many waters in a powerful way in the midst of us, even in this afternoon hour. And then it need not be as in a storm. And then it need not be as in a fire. And then it need not be as in a wind. For when we would be placed before thy holy majesty, then we would be consumed. Oh, but it may be just as a still small voice in this afternoon hour, in the hearts of young and old together, that may call us from nature's darkness away from this place, because the Lord is going to destroy this city. Oh, away, away, Lord, call us. Then by that irresistible power of thy Holy Spirit, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, and that the drawing of thy Holy Spirit and may be felt effectually and powerfully in the heart of young and old together. O, feed thy people, for thou knowest their place and their condition also in this afternoon hour, what is living within that heart to which thou hast given life, which is subject unto the hills and the valleys, through and over which that it must travel through this world. It is a straight gate. It is a narrow way. And it is a people who so often are afraid that they are forgotten of thee, that they have not entered in through the right way. O Lord, that thou wouldst show it unto them, that thou wouldst give unto us wisdom, that we may be enabled out of thy holy word of truth to lay out those marks which are belonging only unto thy true people, that there may be an encouragement for those who are afflicted and poor, and for those who are not able to maintain it themselves, oh, that thou may open the eyes for thy dear and only begotten Son, that he may be seen for the first or by renewal, that he may become precious, that he may become necessary, that he may become suitable in the eyes of the lame and of the blind and of the deaf and of the dumb. Oh, that there may be a rejoicing of the poor in the midst of us, that there may be a crumb for the dogs, and that there may be healing for those who have no ability to heal themselves. Lord, care for us all together. Awaken us from the state of death that we do travel in by nature, so careless of the earth, earthy, looking to everything that is passing away, which cannot fulfill that which our heart needs to be filled. O Lord, that thou wouldst open the eyes and that thou wouldst give a new life. Look upon those that are old. Lord, thou knowest the needs and the cares of old age, but also the fears, and more, then it is experienced that this life that we have here, no continuing city. Oh, that then there are fears very often that we have to go to our long home, and that we have to go away out of this world, and not possessing that one thing that is needful. O Lord, wilt thou remember them, and wilt thou care for them? Oh, there is one thing that we all need together, remember and give, that the hard hearts may be broken, and that the cold hearts may be melted, that the aged knees may be bent, and that even when a man has become 100 years old, that thou art able to give that new life. O Lord, remember in thy mercy also those who have serious diseases. O Lord, care for them, visit them, those that are weak in their own homes, that are cared for by others, that listen by church telephone. Lord, thou knowest their place. Oh, that thou may visit them with the token of thy favor and of thy goodness, which is so free. Oh, that they may experience it as such, even to such as they are, and that thou may look upon all those that are called to bring thy holy word in the midst of this world, amongst Jew and Gentile, and also amongst the established churches. Increase their number and give help from the sanctuary. Wilt thou care for us, young and old, together in this afternoon? Give us wisdom. Remember those who are not able to understand the English language. Wilt thou give them yet a blessing from above? Because one word thou art able to give them in their hearts. Help us then, Lord, to be simple also for the youngest of the children, and that thou wouldst make it simple. Oh, that thou wouldst bring it in our hearts. Care for us then, be among us as one that serveth, feelingly, believingly, for thy name's sake. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 120, stanzas 1 through 4. Judge me, God, of my salvation. Plead my cause, for thee I trust. Hear my earnest supplication. Save me from my foes, unjust. 1 through 4 of Psalter 120. And the last collection today is for the Synodical Education Committee.
Thank you.
And if the woman will not follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. That is, beloved congregation, that is, Eliezer, freed from his responsibility to bring her back. He is not to force her, because that is not the way that the Lord will bring in his church, by force, as it has been said of old, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. But the Lord does not convince a man against his will, but he renews his will. He gives him a new will. He gives him new desires. And if the woman will not follow thee, how is that, boys and girls? Eliezer, he is sent to take a wife for Isaac. He is to go to that far-off land, and he is to say to her, come with me. Come away from where that you are living. He is to say, follow me the way in which I am going, to the place in which I am going. That is now the work of the servants of the Lord. That is what the Lord sends his servants to do in the midst of this world, to bring his word and to say, come out from among them and be separate. Come, follow me to that place where I may lead you. Will you follow? And if the woman will not follow me, then God's servants, they are absolved of the responsibility. Then that responsibility is laying on the heads of that people, O congregation. Then who of us can say that we have done this right? Who of us can say that we have done this with sufficient sincerity, with sufficient clarity? Who of us can say that we have warned you sufficiently, and yet the Lord does say, if they will not follow thee, then you are absolved. Then the Lord, he will lay that blame upon that people themselves, or we can convince no one. That is now the almighty work of the Spirit of the Lord. But was your heart ever so touched? Was your heart ever so drawn that you may also desire to follow in that way that is leading unto that greater Isaac? Come. And we said, boys and girls, we are going to go on a journey, and we wish to go on that journey in this afternoon with Eliezer, that we may see something and experience something of the work of the Spirit of the Lord in bringing back a wife for Isaac. Our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, Genesis 24. And thereof the verse 14, only this little middle part. Genesis 24, verse 14, these words: let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. So far the words of our text. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Our theme: three answers direct Eliezer to Rebekah as the appointed wife for Isaac. First, an answer concerning a drink of water. What was her answer we read, "Drink, my Lord, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." Thus, an answer concerning a drink of water. Second, an answer concerning her parentage, which we find in verse 24. "And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." An answer concerning her parentage directs Eliezer. Third, an answer concerning room for lodging. In verse 25, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." Thus, three answers direct Eliezer to Rebecca as the appointed wife for Isaac. First, an answer concerning a drink of water. Second, an answer concerning her parentage. And third, an answer concerning room for lodging. "Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, that thou hast reserved for him, that thou dost direct for him." That word "appointed," that is actually a legal word. It is a word that is used in the courts for something that is appointed by someone else in a formal way and in a legal way. Thus, the wife of Isaac, the Bible says, was appointed. By whom? By God Himself. Like every wife that is appointed to her husband in this world by God Himself. That is what we read in our form. Our fathers say that God doth bring to every man by His hand his wife. Do you believe that, young people? Do you believe that? Do you seek a wife? Do you desire a husband? So what do you do for that? How do you seek that? Do you do that on your knees? Do you believe that he or she is appointed for you? Or that there may be no wife or no husband appointed for you? That's also of the Lord. Do you believe that? Or do you think that you are just going to make this decision all by yourself? Or will you not do as Eliezer did? And will you not do even as Isaac himself, we will find out that he also was doing? It is an appointment. That does not mean that we can do it without prayer. Because you say, well, it is appointed by the Lord anyway, so it will happen in the Lord's way anyway. No. Because the Lord, he has also appointed the means for this. That a man, he bends his knees and he asks the Lord to guide him in the way, even as Eliezer. And now in this appointment, we have a representation. We have a representation of the appointment of the bride of Christ. That bride that is reserved for him, that is appointed, that is elected for him by the Father already by name from eternity. And yet the Lord, he is pleased to use means to gather in, to send his servants out, that they may find, as it were, his bride. "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Who is that? And to whom does he speak? That is Eliezer. It is the servant of Abraham. And he speaks unto Rebekah, that is the future wife of Isaac. No, he does not know that yet. Nor does she know this yet. Still, it is going to be. Here is now the beginning of something. Here is now the beginning of something that is going to be leading unto a blessed marriage. Every husband, every wife in our midst, they can speak about this. If you will ask them, you say, what was now the beginning? How did that now happen in your life? How did you find out about her or him? How was it that you have met together? And then they will tell you, young people, they say, well, we maybe knew each other from when we were children, or we met one another when we were older, all different ways. They will say, perhaps we just happened to meet at such and such a place. We just happened to be in the same classroom, in school or in catechism class. What do you think? Is that so? We just happened to be in that class together. How was that for Rebekah? She just happened to meet Eliezer here at the well? Was that just something that has taken place by chance? Think every one of our children, they will say, no, 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 no. That did not just take place by chance, no. It did not. How do you know that, boys and girls? Well, you know what happened before that. You say there was something that was going on. And that is pointing to the fact that it did not happen only by chance. What was that that was happening? What was going on? Well, that man was praying. There was supplication unto the Lord. And we have seen that. We have read that out of the Holy Word of God. And when we know what has happened and what he has asked for, and we see all that is taking place, then we say, no, that did not just happen by chance, but that the Lord himself, that was promised to Eliezer, the angel of the Lord, he will go before thee. And so we can see that happening. Because Eliezer, he is not even finished praying. When Rebekah already is appearing. And it came to pass before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, a son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Thus, we see a meeting that was under the very special operation of the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, going before the servant of the Lord to direct everything. And so that is now with that wife, with that bride of Christ. So that is with that elect church. Then there is coming a time that she is not only appointed by the Father, but there is coming a time that that bride, she is going to be brought in. What a moment. What a moment in the life of a person. A moment when they are going to receive a new life. When everything in their life is about to completely change. There are providences of the Lord. They are affecting everyone in this world. But then there are also the very special providences of the Lord whereby he is bringing together his own people with the means by which they are going to be brought unto that heavenly bridegroom. Thus they are going to be brought in contact with the Word. They are going to be brought in contact with the preaching of the Word of God. When will that happen to you, children? That you will be brought in contact with the Word. That has to happen to every single one of that church that is going to be gathered in. That is the first step. They have to come in contact with that Word. And most of the time, that is why the Lord is sending His servants, that they are coming in contact under the preaching, under the explanation and the application of that Word. When did that happen in your life? Well, that has happened, congregation, in the life of every one of us already. Children, do you understand this, what we say? The first thing that has to happen in the life of a man that has already taken place in your young life. You know all those children. You see them every day. They are with you in the midst of this world. And to them it has not happened. Do you understand the greatness of the privilege that the Lord has given unto us when He has brought us already with our children under this first step? Does that ever give you courage? Does that ever give you hope in your heart? That you may bend your knees in your secret chamber. That you may say, "Oh Lord, could it be that also I am one of that true bride of Christ? Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." That is the first contact that Rebecca has with Eliezer. Seems so casual, seems so common, seems so ordinary, and yet it is the beginning of something very great. It is the beginning of something that is very, very special. It is the beginning of something that is going to be life-changing for this Rebecca. She doesn't know it, but already, she has been the object of the movement of that angel of the Lord that was promised unto Eliezer. That Spirit of the Lord has already entered into her. That is, in the way of providence, that He may guide those decisions that she makes, that may bring her unto that well of water just at this specific time. Becomes so evident in her answer to this very simple question and this simple request. Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And what is her answer? And she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him to drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Say, is that now so remarkable? Would not such an answer as the answer that was given by this woman, would not such an answer be an answer that would be given by every woman who was of a good character? So it is. We hope also, young people, that you would also be as Rebecca, and that when you had seen such a man and her and his animals in a great need, you would also answer even as she has answered. Eliezer knew this. And this was the reason that Eliezer, he is asking for this test, for this examination concerning that wife of Isaac. What is he looking for that wife? Well, he is looking for a woman of good character. He is looking for a woman who has a sympathy for the poor, for the needy, for the afflicted. What are you looking for, boys? Young people, girls, what are you looking for? You will find a man, woman, someone beautiful that is only skin deep, goes away very quickly. Someone rich, someone wealthy, someone witty. Or do you now look for those things which point out a person's good character? Do you even look for those things that are pointing out perhaps that this young man and that this young woman, they are persons with the fear of the Lord living in the bottom of their hearts? Do you look for that? Do you desire such a wife? Do you desire such a husband? And do you ask the Lord for such a wife, for such a husband? Eliezer asks for a sign. Should you do that? Be careful. Be careful. Because the Lord, he is not obliged to us. We have here a very special circumstance. You must look for the character of a person. You must look for the fear of the Lord. That is what he is also looking for. And it is true, Eliezer, he asks for a sign to show her good character. And yet, the coinciding of all of these things together do point him to an answer from above. That is, in the providence of the Lord, it is remarkable the way that the Lord has answered this prayer of Eliezer. Sees that. Feels that. At the same time, all of these outward circumstances are not enough for Eliezer. Nor will ever an outward sign be enough to satisfy the heart of a person. Not for those decisions which are so far-reaching and so consequential in the life of a person. What happened to Eliezer here is indeed remarkable, and yet at the same time, he does not venture on it. And the man, we read, wondering at her, held his peace. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not, he held his peace. This in itself, this sign, that was not enough for him. Sometimes the Lord, he does things in this life which are very, very remarkable. And yet we are not to rest solely on these things. Sometimes there is a way in which the Lord, he is bringing someone under the truth in the house of the Lord, bringing them under the word. And we say that it's such a remarkable thing. There is a remarkable circumstance, a remarkable story that we may be told. And we say, that is now the work of the Lord. Wait a moment. Wait a moment. Our Father said, let it winter over once. Do not take the remarkable outward things and place all your trust in all of those things. Eliezer held his peace. He is silent. He doesn't say anything yet. Why not? Because there are more things. More things that have to be, that have to come together. We see that in our second thought, the answer concerning her parentage. He asks her a question. He says, whose daughter art thou? Is that such an important question? Whose daughter art thou? Indeed. Why is that so important? Well, we know that Eliezer was sent to a specific people, to a specific place. But thou shalt go unto my kindred, my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So you understand that if this mark is missing, if this woman is not of his kindred, kindred of Isaac, of Abraham, of his country, then what does he do with all of the providential circumstances? You say, then that cannot be pointing to the work of the Lord. You see the place that the providential things need to receive in the life of the person that is not in the first place. Whose daughter art thou? Eliezer remains a stranger to Rebekah. But he is asking Rebekah who that she is. And she answers him, and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. We have here, congregation, a remarkable picture. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord, he is also doing the same. He is doing the same in the heart of a sinner. What does he do? Ask the Lord's people. What does he do? He begins to make them to consider who they are. He begins to make them to consider, to think about where they have come from. What is my state? What is my condition? Whose daughter art thou? In regeneration, then the Spirit of the Lord, he is going to begin to uncover to a person his state, his condition, to whom that he now belongs. Did the Lord ever ask you that question? Did he ever say unto your soul, whose daughter art thou? To whom do you belong? And what was your answer? Let us sing first. 382 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, thou hast searched me, and dost know where'er I rest, where'er I go. Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 382. Thank you. daughter art thou? I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. That is a wonder to Eliezer. Why? Well, he perceives something here. He perceives something of the leading of that angel of the Lord. He sees something of the guidance of the Lord, that he may come into contact with that future wife of Isaac. It is no different with all of God's truly sent servants when they may perceive something of that uncovering work of that Spirit of the Lord. There is a confession. Confession of who and what that a person is. Rebecca does not fully understand the implications of what she just said, but she does know something of it. And a people of the Lord, in the very beginning, they do not know just how great my sins and miseries are. But the Lord is beginning to open it in a very small way sometimes unto that people. I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. That means that she is a relation to Isaac. She is not a cousin, nor is she a second cousin, but she is just in between. We would say a cousin once removed. There was a time that this Abraham and Nahor, they were brothers. There was a time that these two men, they lived together. And then there was a time that the Lord, he called Abram, get thee from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will tell thee of. Do we read anywhere that Nahor has a desire to go with his brother Abram? No, we read it nowhere. No, Nahor is content in that idolatry which they have quickly degenerated into after the flood. Because later we read that Joshua is writing about Terah, the father of Abram and Nahor, we read. And what does he say? That they served other gods. And Abram, he is called out of this idol worship, but Nahor is not. And Nahor has no desire to leave that worship in which he has fallen. Abram becomes a nomad, a wanderer, a stranger, a man who is living in a land that is not his. He is living as a pilgrim in the earth. He does not dwell in sealed houses anymore, but he is living in tents. Does Nahor have a desire to forsake this world and to live as a pilgrim in this world with his brother Abram? He has no such desire. Do you think that Rebecca, that she knew anything of her ancestry? Do you think that she has known anything about who Abram was and Abram's calling out of that land? Or do you think that that was always spoken of in that house of brother Nahor? in a positive light of what Abram has done? Oh, Rebecca, she has to know something. And thus, when Rebecca is saying something, she is telling something of who that her father is, who that her parents are, where that she comes from. Then in it there is, as small as it may be, then there is something of a confession in it. There is something of guilt in it. I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Do you understand it? The Spirit of the Lord. He is asking his people in the way of uncovering, whose daughter art thou? Oh, did you ever have to confess who that your parents are? Did you ever have to confess to say, oh Lord, I am one of those with a worldly heart. I am one of those who has no desire to walk as a stranger and as a pilgrim in this world. I am one of those who deep down in my heart, actually it is ingrained in me because that is living already in my father and in my mother, and who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean, then there is no desire after the true and the living God, whose daughter art thou? That is an answer by which God's servant, he is encouraged when he hears, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Do you know how encouraging it is when the servants of the Lord, they may ask this question in whatever form that may be, whose daughter art thou? And they may begin to hear something, the smallest part of that knowledge. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. Do you know how encouraging that is in the life of God's servants? That they say, who can tell? This is now maybe enough yet, no. But this is now maybe one of that bride that is to be brought in for that greater Isaac. Therefore he goes on, gives a third question. See that in our third thought, an answer concerning room for lodging. Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? What would we say? For such a stranger, what would we say to him when we had met him at the well, when we had met him at the gas station? What would we say to him? We have to be careful, children. Children, you do not talk to strangers, right? We live in a different time. You cannot talk to everyone. No. That is for your mother and that is for your father. Because we live in times that strangers, they can be very, very dangerous. You do not do that. And it can be, of course, in our time, dangerous for each and every one of us. But what is now living within our heart? What does the apostle say He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because thereby some they have entertained angels unawares. Rebecca, she gives this generous hospitality, this answer that is actually according to the custom of those times, because that people, they actually prided themselves in their hospitality. So her answer, that is certainly according to the custom of those times. And yet, must we say that there is actually nothing more in this answer of Rebecca? Nothing more than custom? There is nothing more in this answer than a good character, a generous character, a kind, a sympathetic woman? Is there nothing in her answer by which we may see that angel of the Lord going before Eliezer? Indeed there is. We feel it. Why do we feel that? Because something has already passed between Eliezer and Rebecca. What has passed? Gifts. And the Lord willing, next time we hope to speak a little bit more about these gifts. But here already, first gifts are given by Eliezer to Rebecca. What do those gifts do? Those gifts, they endear her unto this man. A gift is a personal thing that is between the giver and the receiver. And it is doing something. It is doing something in the heart of this Rebecca. And yet Rebecca does not even know yet actually who that gift is from. It's not from Eliezer. She doesn't know that yet, because Eliezer has not yet spoken about Isaac. And he is the one who is presenting unto her that gift. Still, there is something that is passing between. It is mysterious. It is personal. It is something that is actually so lovely. Thus, when Eliezer, he says, tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Then Rebecca's answer is more than mere generosity, hospitality. But it is by these gifts that the heart of Rebecca has been opened. It has been opened to receive this man, this servant, Eliezer. She is secretly, she is inwardly influenced by that Spirit of the Lord, by that angel of the Lord that is going before. And now God's servants, God's true people, they are experiencing that same. They are not strangers of that influence, even in the very, very beginning. Say, is there a beginning in my life? Does that Spirit of the Lord work within my life? Does it work within my heart? Is that one of your questions? What is happening? It is not always so evident in the very beginning. But there is a mysterious influence. She cannot explain it, what it is. She cannot say, and that people, they cannot say, where does this come from? They do not know where that comes from. It is secret. It is personal. They do not know how to explain it. At the same time, it is so lovely. It is so precious. It is so sweet. It is capturing the affections that are living deep down within their heart. It is opening their heart like the heart of Lydia was opened, that she attended unto the things. You know what we read in the book of Revelation? We read that the angel of the Lord is knocking on the door of the heart of the Laodiceans. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I shall come into him and sup with him, and he with me." What is now that Spirit of the Lord doing in the life of that people in the very, very beginning? Then he is coming. He is knocking, saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is there room for me in your heart? Is there place in your heart that I may come in, that I may lodge, that I may dwell?" Now that Spirit of the Lord, he is working. What is happening in that heart? Then that heart that is going open, it says, "Oh Lord, there is room here. There is room here for thee to dwell." This is a blessed time in the life of God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he calls this time by a special name in the life of his people. He knows where they are. They do not know him yet. She does not know Isaac yet. But he knows where they are. He says, it is a time of first love. He calls it that. And it is experienced as that in the life of this people. It is the love of the Lord that is sometimes so poured out in the life of that people. They cannot explain it. Where does it come from? They do not know. It makes them hunger. It makes them thirst. It makes them desire. It brings them to the house of the Lord. And when they cannot be in the house of the Lord, then they are sitting, boys and girls, with the church telephone next to their ear so that they will be able to hear everything. And in their heart, then there is a cry. And that says, "Oh Lord, wilt thou come in? Wilt thou come to lodge also in my heart? And wilt thou take up thy abode also in my heart?" Do you understand what we read finally? We read, "And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. What do you think? Does more still have to happen? You say, of course, more still has to happen. It is not done. It is just the beginning. It is only the very, very beginning. That man, he has not even yet told his mission. That man, he has not even yet said from where he has come, who he is, who his master is. So much still has to happen. Rebecca, she has not yet said, "I will go." And yet, this man perceives something. He bows his head and he worships God. Why? Well, he perceives the leading hand of the Lord. The Lord is leading him to that wife for Isaac. He sees signs which are so positive. Not done yet, no. But they are signs at which he is rejoicing. And for Rebecca, oh, what a day, what a moment has this been. Never did she think, coming up to the well in this day would be the beginning of something she had never expected. Oh, realize this, young people. Realize this, that you never miss once. That you never miss once in the house of the Lord. Oh, that you would say in your house, oh, could it be now that day that I may meet with that Eliezer. Oh, that I may be influenced by that Spirit of the Lord. New feelings. She has new feelings. She has received a gift that she has never had before in her whole life. That is what that people experience. Christ, speak to them about who Christ is. They will look at you with a blank look that is like asking Rebecca, who is Isaac? Oh, she would not know. Election? Appointed to be the wife of Isaac? That people, this is, young people, the beginning. The beginning, remember that. Does not start with those highest things. No, it starts here. But love. Love is born in her heart. And just a small beginning of the consideration she had to say it with her own mouth. Who she was. Did not know all of that yet either. Because she did not know that new religion. And when we do not know that new truth, that we actually do not know how great our sins and miseries are either. Just the beginning, a small beginning of that knowledge of sin, of misery, that is beginning to come in the life of this people. And an open heart. An open heart for the service of the Lord. An open heart for the servants of the Lord. Oh, it is that time when no knowledge of Christ and no knowledge where the gifts come from, then there is more love to the servants of the Lord as the giver of those gifts. Other things, they will come later. And there is a secret hope. A secret hope that is born in the heart of that people. Do not ask them to explain it. She cannot explain it either. She doesn't know even the object of that hope yet. How can she know its foundation? And yet it is true. And yet it is true. And it is a hope in that people that will not be made ashamed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O begin with us all together, young and old, and with that still small voice, and with that love planted, poured out in our heart, and with the beginning of the knowledge of sin, with the opening of heart for thee, for thy word and all thy institutions. Oh, begin it, Lord, in the life of each and every one of us. Give us a holy jealousy for the blessed portion of thy people. and give what is necessary to enter further into the blessed mysteries of the leading of thy Spirit. And wilt thou bring us safely to our places. Help us in all of our labors in the week to come. And when we see our brother also here, the student in the ministry, Lord, wilt thou remember him also in all of his labors, give him some rest in these weeks, and wilt thou make all things well. Care for all those that travel in these weeks. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. Be with us when we meet as a consistory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 398:1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 398. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee.